The truth, though, that's...
I see. And did you ever see any movies where there were Chinese roles? Not necessarily played by Chinese, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, you see Anna May Wong all the time.
She's a Chinese-American actress. Yeah, no, I meant roles which were played either by Chinese or American.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The roles themselves were of Chinese people.
Charlie Chan. Yeah, but that was that was after the war. It was a little bit before the war.
Oh,
I have a couple extra parts myself, a small extra part.
Really?
Yeah,
quite a few Chinese seem to have taken extra parts.
Well, they become Chinese soldiers, howling, yelling, you know, like they've never seen any training before. I would say they're part of a village, like in the old days, Good Earth, they used a lot of Chinese extra.
Did you participate in Good Earth?
No, I did not participate, but my friend said I was on the set a couple of times.
Yeah, that was mostly Chinese, production.
I was, at that time, I was... president of the Chinese Youth Federation in Chinatown, consisting of 24 Chinese organizations of young people.
Uh-huh.
So I had a semi-official access to many places.
Was in San Francisco?
Here, in Los Angeles.
When
they opened Chinatown, I was sitting next to the mayor as a showcase Chinese young person.
I see. Now, in those movies of the 20s and 30s and 40s, how were the Chinese portrayed? What kind of roles did we get?
The Chinese movies always reflect the reality of the time. So the Chinese in reality did not have a good social position, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In China, they were a weak country that was before Pearl Harbor, understand?
Mm-hmm.
Weak and the doormat of the world. So on a national basis, China was weak. On a minority basis, the Chinese American were secondary position, so the film roles indicate that. So they become laundrymen, or they always have a cook in the West, where the man comes out and hit the gong for the cowboys to come and eat, you know, and the cowboy come and galloping and pull his hair.
It's cute, right?
It's cute, you know. This part, and everybody will laugh, you know, Charlie, you understand, you know. You see? They haven't ever portrayed an action. Like, for instance, the Chinese built the Union Pacific Railroad. Full of heroism, but no American film ever portrayed that. As a matter of fact, I was at the Golden Spike celebration some years ago. And
Golden Spike?
Yeah, that's a anniversary when the two railroads
met,
and they
Union
put a gold
Pacific,
spike there.
Right.
Of course, they take the gold spike out afterwards. But they have Irish people there, they have the planners, and they have, but no Chinese. The Chinese built the railroad. See,
right.
You know, I raised a question there, and they say it was an oversight. In the beginning, was the work like the Bible?
I did see some pictures though of Chinese railroad workers.
Along
with Irish.
In private, and sometimes official record, it shows the Chinese working, but in the celebrations, you never see that. You know. And the giving up awards, you know.
Well, but in the back to
the question is that what is the China doing? Well, that's a difference from 20 to 30 to 40. You understand?
Okay.
Increasing role in American life. You see, as something else happened in America, you must take cognizance of. In the objective reality of the situation, America was finally coming into the side of the anti-fascist. You must not. Is that unanimous in America at the time?
Mm-hmm.
But the lining up of the Rome, Berlin, Tokyo axis
mm-hmm.
forces America on the other side. Although there are many people who favor the axis, you know. Don't forget there were many people who are German, Italian descent. So what happened was that the American ultimately aligned with England and France that was up into attack by Hitler. So therefore, this increasing of the democratic concept to widen the participation in the war effort and to resist fascism
mm-hmm.
forces America at that time to take a very unique stand that they didn't take before against racism.
Mm-hmm.
You see? How do you be against racism at the same time discriminate against the Chinese? You know what I mean? Therefore, you have to find some way of bridging the gap. So therefore, more and more Chinese are brought into official position or the discrimination are less overt.
But I was saying, how were the Chinese portrayed in movies back in those days? other than as cooks? What other?
Well, there has been, as I say, the decades changed. They have become soldiers, you know. And if the movies want to portray the villainy of the Japanese in the heroism of the Americans, then naturally it shows you some Chinese as allies, like scouts or, you know.
In movies, actually.
Yeah,
I
well, in reference to, yeah, in movies, you know. But the average American doesn't know world affairs very much, mm-hmm. outside what the movie tells him, see? He can't even define fascism, you understand?
Yeah, back in those days, they had the newsreels, right?
Yeah,
those you go to movie theaters
but
to see.
It was, I see one thing, the mental interpretation of the... I'm not trying to downgrade American education. They're very smart in many ways, but world affairs is not one of the areas where they're proficient.
No. And did you notice a change, a significant change in the way that, you know, that the Chinese were... portrayed in the media.
In the media, yes. Right now.
I don't mean right now, but I mean, yeah. you know, with just before the war.
Before
war,
the war,
war
yeah.
II
after World War, there was a whole series of World War pictures, you know. And then naturally, we are an ally. So the Chinese comrades, scouts,
better,
and detachments, like guerrillas, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Chinese have come into play, see. They're now portrayed a little differently than
Did
before.
Did you ever see any Fu Manchu movies?
Yeah, I used to like them.
You like them?
We laughed at Fu Manchu, but you know. The Chinese is picture, either he's a dummy that they barely get his pot out of the kitchen correctly without spilling it, or else he's a mastermind criminal that can like Fu Manchu, that can, you know, offset the most brilliant detective brains here, see?
So Fu Manchu was not totally negative. I mean,
well, no, he's supposed to be
a villain
of some kind, but a master
he's a
villain.
Smart
he's
one, huh?
Yeah, master villain. Yeah.
Oh.
But look, you don't get into the idea that his smartness is necessarily a great asset.
No, I mean, you know, it was still perceived
Hitler
by the public.
Hitler was very smart, you know. That's why he wouldn't have conquered half the world. See, we fall into this Western concept of bigness and craftiness and high intelligence. The important thing is, what is that intelligence used for?
Mm-hmm.
It's better to be dumb and become useful and constructive.
Yeah, but you didn't mind the way they portrayed Chinese as either criminals or dummies?
Well, there are two things in a human being's life. That which concerns himself immediately, that which concerns himself ideologically. In some ways, I resent the fact that it is portrayed not honestly to the culture of our ancestors. On the other hand, I myself would like to have a part in a play and make up a good payday.
I see.
You see?
But from the point of view of an audience, when you see that portrayed, when you see your people of your own ethnic group portrayed.
Yeah, again, there's two
manners.
Things. One thing is I sometimes resent it, another thing I forgot, hey, that's William Wong there. He's getting that part there. You know? You understand? There's more opportunities for us later on, see? You see how the human being is? He's neither villain or angel, he's just a human being.
Did you ever wish that the Chinese would be more accurately portrayed rather than stereotyped into two roles?
Yeah, well, I'm a double. First of all, I do like to see the idealistic. All humans do, otherwise they were not good human beings. On the other hand, I really haven't been around Chinese long enough. I don't know which Chinese they're going to portray, because the Gansiong, there are some people in Chinatown, there's not worth the power to blow the hell. For that matter, they're outside of China, Americans or blacks or Mexicans, and a lot of people aren't worth how to blow the hell. Maybe myself are not worth the power to blow the hell. So therefore, it's hard to generalize on human beings, you see. When you say, all right, the good part of me, I would like to see China, the land of my ancestors, portray, you know, as it should be. There's great heroism in China. The Taiping Rebellion, the fight against the Manchu oppressor, the fight against the Mongolian Yun oppressor, the fight against corruption, the fight against the dignity of human life, the fight for a Chinese place in the world. The biggest nation in the world should stand up and be respected instead of being a doormat of the world under the imperialism. You understand? I grew up in that period, and I was very, very strongly hoping for China, and I worked along that line too. One little time I have to see China have a dignity, because I not only see China as a nation, but the Chinese people, you know, have a place in the world, as even in the overseas Chinese or even as American Chinese.
Mm-hmm. But did you ever hear anyone say that they were embarrassed or they were unhappy about being
Chinese. I do. In the early, in the 30s and 20s particularly, many people say, why does it happen to us? I wish I was American so that it won't happen to us. But not much, not many. Mm. But I do hear it, you see.
Did you feel that way?
I didn't feel that way, no. Because, you see, fortunately, in the way of speaking, I was born in 1910. And I grew up in my youth during the high tide of anti-Qing dynasty, and at the coming of Sun Yat-sen. Mm-hmm. Sun Yat-sen was in our house upstairs in Vallejo. When he was Zhao Nan, when he was in exile, for he was there for a week.
What was this, Vallejo?
Vallejo, California. We lived in Vallejo for a short time.
Where is that?
It's in there, it's Marin County, Sonoma County.
Oh.
He was upstairs hiding out in the Kuomintang auditorium upstairs where we lived downstairs. See?
You and your parents?
No, my grandmother. Yeah, my grandmother in those days.
I didn't know you lived in the Marin County.
For a short time, see?
Oh.
So I'm saying that the main subject is I was at that time growing up in the world of Chinese resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even the illiterate Chinese, the cook, they don't know much. Even then, they have this kind of a Chinese strong feeling. You know, understand Mong Guo?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Even America doesn't have the translation.
Yeah.
Because we never had the facing Mong Guo.
Yeah, well, America. Yeah, never had to worry too much about that. What kind of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves?
Well, sometimes many, if they at work in the place, they want to be foreman someday.
See.
And then, you know, or else they want to be assistant to the foreman, so they don't have to have the responsibility to get the money.
Wait, is it a foreman of usually you're talking about?
About warehouse? You know, or factory or something like that. And then other people, Chinese, like to be professionals, want to be dentists and want to be. You know,
did you want to be anything like that when you were growing up?
But I was a realist. I know that has to do with opportunity. I would like to get some kind of work where I would not be totally uninteresting.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the Chinese jobs I see are totally uninteresting. How the Chinese survive it is a miracle of human psychology, because here is some many Chinese go to Virginia, to Atlanta, to Texas, and they just on ye, you know,
iron clothes.
Year after year after year, maybe for a generation, and then finally make enough to go to China without the brains all shattered, you know, or a piece of cheese, you know. you tell Wester to do that for 6 months, you know, he'll break his head against the wall.
Yeah.
Chinese has an integrated culture. He'd bring his wife with him and raise his children. Then he go to China to eat and they talk about, you know, the food. There's so many things that save us, you understand? Everyday things save us.
When you were growing up, then did your, I guess, aunt and uncle express an interest in what they would like you to be?
They're too much of a realist to do, because what you like to be,
or what they expect,
yeah,
interest.
What
their
you like to be is preamble on one thing, what the
money?
Possibility of expectations are. If you know that you're never able to fly, you never hope to become an angel. You understand? See, don't tell. No use having disappointment.
Well, within there, what they realize to be possible.
Yeah.
What do they
want to say? That we want to be
want
a little money
children.
Ahead and open a little small business, maybe.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I see. Is that what they did? Your uncle and aunt?
Yeah, they did. I finally had a little small business.
Grocery shop?
No, it was a little bit of a dry goods store with a gambling house in the back. They rent out to somebody else.
They rent out the gambling house to somebody else?
No, it's a lottery place, lottery station. You know, just like many blacks and Mexicans have numbers bracket, you know, to augment the income.
When was that, in the 20s?
Yeah, in the 20s. Up to the 30s.
I see. You said you drove a truck?
I drove a gambling car once for a short time.
That's collection of money and selling of
Yeah, I
numbers.
Used to draw because of no lottery, you know? You know lottery, like Keno, you know?
Yeah.
The Chinese lottery, you know? And because the county line says over this line here, certain things are allowed. So we're in Alameda County, so we have to drive a car over the county line and bring the Chinese over there to gamble. Bring them back. See, understand? As long as they're over on the other side of the line, they can do
that. Oh, they actually gamble. You put them in the truck and they take them out.
Not a truck. You put them in the limousine. They don't want to go in a truck.
Oh, you know? I see.
Only people that can
Did a lot of
Ford limousines are, you know, black syndicates and, oh. And
so your uncle was part of the.
Well, part was a small part of a group, but all Chinese can, all Chinese are one way or another. You understand? Something going on. See.
Did you ever get caught?
They don't want to get caught because it's accepted in the community. Once in a while they have a token raid, you know. They stage it well long beforehand. They tell you a week ahead so you can, in the newspaper you come and say, Chinatown vice den raided, understand? But you pay off, that's all, understand? Like they have always done, like they always will, understand?
Yeah. But how about in Los Angeles, where they're gambling on...
I don't know what system you used down here, because by that time when I came to Los Angeles, it was another decade, you know.
It was 1930s,
I have no doubt there are many gambling places in Los Angeles even now, you see. There are many, but don't forget, in those days, the white gambling is not that widespread or open. So but now it is. Now you can go to Gardena, you can go to the racetrack, or you can buy stocks on the market, you know. And on a security exchange. So therefore, all kinds of gambling you can indulge in. You don't have to go to Chinatown den, so to speak.
Yeah.
The Chinese are more sophisticated. Now you're a Chinese dentist, and a Chinese lawyer, or a Chinese doctor, or a Chinese accountant. You play the stocks. Same damn thing.
That's I see. When you were growing up, did you see any interracial children? How do you call it?
Few.
Mixed blood.
Not
children.
Too many. Not too many.
How were they treated by the Chinese?
Chinese are provincial. Even that you marry outside your
county, right?
Your dialect.
Mm-hmm.
You marry Hakka. Oh, my uncle said Hakka. 100 years ago, they put a raid on our village in China. You know, can't understand them. Or some yup, you know, say yup, you know, Kipun Yi, and then, you know, Hoiping, and the milk. Could have a lot, you see what I mean? You know, it's a kind of a provincial. So therefore, when you go beyond that, a bargain, you know. And that you intermarry, you go in the red Chinese restaurant, they never look at you like that.
Oh, really?
They don't stop. They don't like that.
They look at you, or they turn their backs on you?
They look at you. And then and Americans, you know, some of the Americans, you know, become aggressive. What are you doing with this? What you do with this American woman, and so on and so forth, or what you do with this, American man, or something, you know. Hi, doing it now. You know, they say, oh, this lady, you look at her, you know, she's selling herself to
the Chinese. So, were the children treated as Chinese children, or as, you know, outside, as Fan Guai's?
The children as half caste, you know. Nippon, right?
Yeah, half and half. So they were treated. As what? Just a special category that's reserved for half-halves?
Depends, you know. If they're self-righteous, they feel sorry for the kids being half and half. But on the other hand, if they, you know, it's on their own right, if the kid's cute and all that, you know, you're not human.
Cute.
Generally speaking, you know, Chinese, that's as back in both ways. I remember earlier days when I went out with wives, you know, you get all kinds of hostile looks.
To where?
Restaurants.
To? American restaurants?
Yeah, the different places, a lot. Even Chinese, you know, take them to Chinatown to eat dinner. And
they did not approve.
Yeah, well, you know, you violate their way of life, you see. It isn't that their moral consideration whether you are
what
doing all
for what was so sacred about?
What's so sacred? Any
keeping it pure.
What's so sacred? Any kind of things, cultural things that you're used to, it doesn't really matter. It's interracial, you know. So you wear in a place where everybody informs you wear suit and tie, you know. Walk in, people begin. You know. When you're down, see, people laugh at you. When you're high up, they cast aspersions at you, you know. High get young lah, you know. Hey, you know. Today he's higher, tomorrow he'll fall down. You see this psychology. Oh, when you come in poor, hey, they, you know, just how young and wrong, I think a little annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, but I forgot to ask you one thing. What is your Chinese name? How do you say it in Chinese?
Hao Dan.
Hao Dan. Ah, Dou Da Ge Da, right? Yeah. Hao, 就是人好好, yeah.
Hao Wan Da.
Oh.
Yeah.
This one, right?
Yeah, on. On.
On.
On, yeah.
On ta.
On, on lock, on.
Yeah. On ta.
Yeah. Chinese always try to have good names, even the guy may be a criminal, see? Same with Mexican.
Well, when you're born, their parents don't know you're going to be a criminal.
Yeah, but they always put a handicap on you. Like, for instance, Mexican called Perfecto, Perfecto Lopez, Professor Goma, perfect. He's always thought perfect, always going to be otherwise, no? Or Angelica, you see?
Yeah. Peace and morality, I guess.
I'm just the opposite of that. I'm opposite. I grew up just to revolt against my name. I'm neither at peace. I'm always into something. Morality. I have violated every concept of morality.
You said your first wife was a Korean American, right? And you were married in the 30s, in the 20s?
I was married in the late 30s, 39, 40, something like that.
Yeah, eventually she was accepted, wasn't she, by your parents?
By, no, my parents are dead. They were my circle, my family circle. Yeah, she was accepted. Yeah. Uh-huh. As far as they can accept me, because, first of all, let's say she accepted. When you bring, already it's changing already by 19, like the war already, you understand?
Did you have any children before World War II
her? Yeah, it's just beginning of World War II, with her. I had two kids, and now, 38 and 36.
Were they brought up to be Koreans or
Chinese?
They were brought
up to be Americans.
What Americans? Oh, I see.
Yeah, they have Chinese faces, but they don't even speak Chinese. But they learned, one of them went to China and married a Chinese girl from Taiwan.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Was that by his own inclination then, huh?
Oh, yeah. He, after a whole lifetime of dating, other people. He went to Korean Taiwan and business and fell in love with a girl in Taiwan.
You have now a Chinese daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I have a daughter-in-law.
How about the other one? The
other one married a white person.
Oh, white woman. Right?
White woman.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
So he's a psychologist up in Seattle. He married a woman who was the first female principal of a school up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.